It's Morning Edition on WNYC. I'm David First. Stuyvesant, Nostrand, Bergen, Van Cortlandt. You might know these as streets and neighborhoods in New York City. They were named for wealthy residents of the 17th, 18th, and 19th centuries. But many of these people made their money in the slave trade, and a new effort aims to increase awareness of the origins of that wealth. Bethel Hobte is a reporter with Resistance, a podcast from Gimlet and Spotify. She's also a former producer with WNYC. She profiled the project called Slavers of New York for the latest episode of Resistance, and she joins us now to talk about it. Hi, Bethel.
Hi, David.
Tell us about Slavers of New York. How did this project start?
So early in quarantine, I guess people were making sourdough bread and adopting dogs and whatnot. One resident of Brooklyn, Elsa Waif, stumbled upon this Facebook post that showed census records from the 1600s and realized that on these census records, not only were their names, family names that they could recognize all around New York, but in one of the columns of the census records, it showed how many slaves some of those families owned. That led Elsa to create this project to make stickers to inform the residents of that area of the history behind some of these names.
In the introduction of the podcast, Waith says, okay, some presidents were slaveholders or supported slavery, but they were presidents, so it's not surprising that there are streets named after them. But a lot of the streets in New York are named for what Waith calls, quote, the lesser-known creeps. Tell us about some of them.
We both came, Elsa and I both came from Virginia. And, you know, we're used to seeing streets named after Lee and Jackson and other people who defended white supremacy and its institutions. But yeah, there are a lot of lesser known creeps in Brooklyn, like Bed-Stuy. Stuy is Stuyvesant, and Stuyvesant himself was the director general of New Amsterdam in New York before New York was New York. He definitely owned slaves. He definitely facilitated the slave trade here in the 1600s. And he was also extremely anti-Catholic, anti-Semitic. He hated Quakers for whatever reason. He had a strong vendetta against Quakers. And Elsa, you know, in the effort to kind of re-examine a lot of vestiges of white supremacy, kind of is focusing in on this one that is all around us. It's a bit jarring as a Black person in America to kind of look around and see just the old remnants of this world that would definitely not have you thriving, to say the least.
In the podcast, Waith says they're not trying to tell anyone what to do with their neighborhoods, but thinks the information about the origin of these street names should be more readily available.
We shouldn't have to search for it, you know what I'm saying? And if this is a history that we look back on and it makes us uncomfortable, now is an excellent time to change things.
How effective do you think a campaign like this can be?
You know, I think it really does help to question the world around us and to see what sort of messages we want to send to the people and the kids around us. You know, on Halloween when we were going up Stuyvesant, you know, we saw trick-or-treaters everywhere. You know, Stuyvesant is next to a street called Malcolm X, and there's another one nearby called Marcus Garvey. There are plenty of figures who we could honor with street names who would more aptly reflect the pride of the neighborhood. And I think that it is something that's extremely tiny in the grand scheme of things, but these tiny things sort of add up, and it's chipping away at these tiny symbols that honor a horrible history that we could change if we wanted to.
Reporter Bethel Hobte, her profile of Slavers of New York for the podcast Resistance comes out today. Thanks for joining us, Bethel.
Thanks, David.